Welcome to Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love. Spoken of by many as one of the greatest living masters of the backflower remedies, he has the oldest ongoing classes with the remedies in the world, 40 years, and has worked with over 100,000 people. He will be showing us how to recognize and heal our shadow side and the emotional baggage we all carry, using the advanced protocols he has developed with the Love Healing System. To learn more, please visit his website at www.drericlove.com for more information. Now, here is our host, Dr. Eric Love.
God bless us all here, and welcome to Healing the Heart. Let's begin with a prayer. Oh, Lord, bless our work tonight, this class, this time we're spending together. Give us secrets of the healing art. Give us the ancient secrets that make us heal. Show us truth and lead us closer to our very own soul. In His holy name, amen. I want to begin with the disclaimer for the FDA. Nothing you're going to hear on this show is meant to treat, cure, or diagnose disease. Problem goes through, or if you're in Seattle or Oregon, Arizona, go to the naturopath and get some good nature cure. I want to welcome Paige, who's visiting us for the first time in Arizona, Sky in the great Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, Greg in sunny Montana, Anya in London, Sandy in California, and wonderful Dee in North Carolina, and Mihai in distant, faraway Germany, and Renew in Texas. Welcome. And welcome to all of you who are seeking truth and to understand yourself and understand the meaning of your suffering and the healing process that you can embrace in order to bring yourself peace of mind and freedom from the poison of your baggage and karma that you've been suffering from for so long. Let me begin with a poem, which is also a prayer. Oh, fill my heart with wonders of your truth, with lessons in the gentle wind, with spoken voices of the stars at night, the secret whispers of the moon, and give me understanding of the meaning of my life and how to cross this ocean lost in storm and wave and currents deep and wide. Oh, fill me, Lord, with understanding of your truth and wisdom to the footsteps of my path and in the actions of my breath and in the movement of my heart. Thy will, not mine. Thy will. Oh, fill my heart with wonders of your voice and drench me with the flowing current of your truth. So let me begin by saying that my claim to fame is I'm the only person you'll meet who will tell you that I really, truly have peace inside. I'm truly happy. I'm the only person who will tell you that he's happy and that he has peace inside. I'm healthy. I have no disease. I'm whole. I'm not stuck anywhere in my life. And I've integrated the lost pieces of my life and myself. I'm open and not closed, and I am available. And I'm emotionally healthy. And today, I can honestly tell you I have no depression, no anxiety, no worry, no hurt. Sometime if I'm ambushed or broadsided by some old crap, I'll just sit down and resolve it using the wonderful Bach Flowers, wonderful SAF that I teach, and get it to move on through. And this is what I can teach you for your own personal self, is how to move your stuff through, your issues through, instead of having it stuck inside and working away your insides night and day. And lastly, I have my life work. I'm doing my purpose in life. Napoleon Hill said that each person has one thing they can do better than anyone else on earth. And thank God I'm doing it. My healing work with the emotional component and the emotional spiritual conflict, and my system that God has given me, the love healing system, which I teach, and I'm trying to get out there into the world. This love healing system, I've developed this wonderful healing system over the last 40 years through God's grace. Actually, God gave it to me. I didn't really develop it. It was a gift from God. And it is one of the best and most effective healing systems on the planet Earth. We use the Bach flower essences, which have been around since 1936, but we use them in a protocol far different than everybody else. We use the wonderful, and you have to use that protocol if you're going to get the healing that you need. We use a wonderful SAF system, which is, Louise Hay said about it, the system, she said, will blow your mind. It is light years ahead of any other form of therapy. And I highly recommend it to anyone who wants to release old patterns. Best system on earth for releasing old patterns. The SAF works on your old traumas, traumas of the childhood, the iniquities of the father are visited on to the children for the third and fourth generation. It works on that stuff. And the Bach remedies work on your character defects, anxiety, fear, depression, guilt, being too dominating, too much of a workaholic, which is the subject of our class tonight. And the Bach remedies. The Bach remedies we use, and the SAF we use, and we use two wonderful programs of healing through diet. And I had a lady friend tell me about a month ago, she said, because I was telling her what a good psychic she was, and she said, yeah, I can read everybody else, but I have trouble reading myself. That's because there's a secret gateway to the healing process nobody knows about. It's called physician heal thyself, taking care of your own crap. Before you're going to take care of everybody else, you need to take care of your own stuff. And that's what hardly anyone knows how to do. They say they know how to do it, but they don't. And that's what I teach you in my training programs, is how to heal your own self. Because if you're going to get healed, you need to do it yourself. And there's two ways to learn my system. One is to take the certification program, which I'll tell you about later on, and the other is to get my books. If you're interested in my two books, the first one is called, and I would recommend it if you want to learn this system. The first one is called The Art of Healing, and the second is called Physician Heal Thyself. Those are e-books, and I send them to you personally. So just send me an email or call me on the phone. And I'll give you these numbers again, but medicinewind.11@gmail.com. And then also my phone number, 406-585-0774, drericlove.com. And you can also find all the contact information on my website here with BBS Radio. Now, let's talk a little bit about some theory. In order to do the healing, to get yourself healed, the first thing is you're going to need to set up the healing process. And the place you need to begin is in the emotional spiritual conflict within yourself. In the emotional component, because it's the emotional component which causes the disease. The ancient Egyptians and all the spiritual teachers of the East say that the mind is located in the heart. So for you to penetrate in to the stuff on the inside of yourself to heal your fears and worries and anxieties, all your junk and baggage and crap and stuff inside of you, which is causing you suffering, you're going to need to go into your heart. So that means that's the doorway, the secret entrance way into the undiscovered tomb in the Valley of the Kings, which is your heart and yourself, which people don't go into. Everybody's closed. They're running around crazy all the time, doing a million miles an hour. People don't know how to get access into their self. You have to get out of your head and get into your heart. You want to check yourself when you're getting back into your head and get yourself back into your heart. Now, the thing I want to talk about tonight, before we get into our first remedy, which is the vervain, which is the V as in victory, V-E-R-V-A-I-N, the last of the four dominating remedies, but the first of the three workaholic remedies. Before we get into that, I want to talk about the subject of you need to be able to listen to your own soul. Why? Because when you're healing, it's body, mind, and spirit, but nobody knows what spirit means. Spirit means your ability to listen to your own soul as your soul speaks to you and gives you guidance. Now, let me tell you a few deep things about this, and then we'll go on to how to do this. Here's some real deep theories. God has chosen in this age to use disease and pain and emotional suffering as a way to get your attention. We get our attention. In other words, in this dark age, God is using disease to get our attention as a wake-up call to get us to change and grow and become a new person and unfold and work through our issues and change and grow and become anew. That's the first thing. Spirit is using suffering, pain, disease, as a way to get our attention, and we need to process some stuff, and we need to learn some stuff from our soul, not to be so darn dominating, not to be so darn workaholic, not to let people walk all over us, not to let people control us, how to have more confidence. Maybe we need to go and work through the sexual abuse or the beatings we took as a child and get that stuff worked through. God is suffering, pain, and disease as a way to get our attention. That's first thing. Second thing is if you're suffering, there's something you're doing to draw that to you. There's some pattern inside you that is bringing this to you, drawing this down on you. Everybody points the bony finger at everybody else, but the secret is there's something that you're doing, some pattern you have going on inside of you that's bringing this to you. Now, let me quote Dr. Bach. He said, suffering is a corrective to point out a lesson we have failed to grasp, and never can it be eradicated until that lesson is learned. So when you're trying to set up a healing process for your suffering, first thing you want to do is talk to your soul and say, hey, Yogi Bhajan says, get God on the phone, send him a telegram, send him a fax, send him a wire, call him on the email, call him on the cell phone, and say, hey, God, however you think about the higher power of spiritual self, what am I doing? What's bringing this on? What's the lesson here? What are you trying to teach me? Because your soul's trying to teach you something. And the second thing is that Seth Bach wrote, so what is the first question you want to ask? What is the lesson here? What am I supposed to learn here? That's the first thing you want to ask your soul. The second thing is suffering is beneficent, Bach wrote, and for our good, and if rightly interpreted, will guide us to our essential faults. So there's some faults. It's a corrective. The suffering, the disease, the pain, the symptoms, problems, is a corrective so that we're to change certain faults. We're too dominating. We're too critical of everybody. We're too impatient. We've got too much hatred and animosity and bitterness. We got too much jealousy. We got too much hate. We need to learn to work on ourselves. We need to learn to work with the sexual abuse from childhood. We need to process those traumas that happened last year or yesterday. Okay, so I hope that's clear. Very deep stuff. Now, let's get to how to listen to your own soul. Because remember, you're going to heal naturally. Body, mind, and spirit. Not just body, mind. We're going to deal with mind here throughout the show. It's body, mind, and spirit. Before we go, let me stop and get us back into our heart and out of our head. Let me read you another point. You want to be loved so much. But first you have to learn to love yourself. How can you know somebody else that deep if you do not know yourself? How can you open up your heart and really love somebody else with so many holes and broken edges and all the empty places of your heart? The desert path is waiting for your footsteps and your breath today. Before you step onto the sandy path, perhaps a moment and a heartbeat, deep inside, you enter in yourself, into your mind, to embrace and touch the ancient pain that's waiting there. And let your first step be the first step of the healing of your broken soul, the rebuilding of the life of your timeless ancient heart. Oh, I love that. That's very deep. How to listen to your soul. Okay. Write this down. Now you got it. All you guys got a pencil. Go find a pencil. Write this down. This is a motto that I saw in a church in LA on the podium in the front. Be still and know. Be still. And no, write that down. Put it on your refrigerator. Slow down and listen. The soul speaks almost like, they call it, in the Bible, it's called a still small voice. Sometimes if you're getting smashed upside the head by an impact coming back on you, something you should have caught, and it got out of hand, now it's way out of hand, smash upside the head. That's got a loud voice. But most of the time, the soul has the still small voice. So for that, we need to be still and know. We need to meditate, which means to listen, to sit and listen. I think it's a good thing just to, when you get up in the morning, don't start running. First thing, go pee. Go have some water, get your tummy full of water, have a glass of water. You always need to do that when you first wake up because we're always dehydrated. And then go sit down. Be still. You can't be still for 30 minutes. Be still for 5 minutes and listen. Be still and know. Prayer means talking to God. And meditation means listening. So if you're going to listen to the voice of the soul, to give you guidance, then you want to be still. Listen, that's one way to do it. Spirit, a body, mind, and spirit means listen to the guidance of your soul. You're going to be healthy and you're going to heal. You're going to heal your disease. You're going to heal your, dis-ease. Dis-ease. If you're going to heal your body pain, if you're going to heal your emotional pain, if you're going to heal your bad and crappy situation, you're going to need to listen to the guidance of your own soul. Because otherwise, you'd be stuck listening to some sorry guy like me. Well, you might get a few good answers from me here and there. You want to get the answers from inside yourself. That's what I teach. That's what God wants. That's what God taught me. Teach people they need to get all the answers from inside of yourself. That's in my program. That's what I teach you how to do. Should I go to San Francisco? Should I take this job? Should I go to school? Why did this person hurt me so? So I quit this stuff. I talked to a young woman the other day. She asked me, should I quit the job? And I said, well, what do you feel? She said, well, I feel like I should. So why don't you pray about it? Ask Spirit for guidance. So she did. And the next time I communicated with her, she said, yep, I've got the message. I have to quit the job. I said, good. Well, bully for you. Then I have a student who asked me, and I said, that sounds interesting. I said, you should pray about it and let me know what you get. He prayed about it, and Spirit told him, don't quit your job right now. Wait a little bit. Let things unfold. So we need to learn to listen to the guidance, because if we need to become guided from our inner self, our inner truth, guided from our soul, not our mind. The mind's going to get you chasing this man and that man and get you chasing money and chasing things of the world, whatever it is. No, not the mind. We need to listen to the voice of the soul. If you're going to figure out why you have this pain and why you have this suffering, it's the soul that we need to connect into. We must learn to listen, because our soul, see, our soul, the secret is our soul is our true self, our real self. And our soul will always guide us. One more secret. Another secret, spiritual law. Our soul puts us where it wants us to be. Our soul chooses to put us in this situation or that situation, because there's a learning experience for us that our soul wants us to have and to evolve. And we just need to figure out what the lessons are. People are fighting their experience, whatever situation they're in. I don't want to be here. I want out of here. I don't like what I'm going through. The spiritual way, the secret spiritual way, the secret spiritual law, is that God puts us where He wants us, because He has lessons for us through the experience that we're going through. So our job is to let go and turn it over and ask God, what's the lesson here? Let me read you something from Dr. Bach's book, Heal Thyself, which, by the way, is free on the internet. Just type in Heal Thyself. Dr. Bach wrote, disease is in itself beneficent and has for its object the bringing back of the personality to the divine of the soul. And thus we can see it is both preventable and avoidable, because if we could only realize for ourselves the mistakes that we're making and correct these by spiritual and mental means, there would be no need for the severe lessons of suffering. In other words, if we could listen to the soul, we wouldn't have to suffer. Every opportunity is given to us by the divine power to mend our ways. Before, as a last resort, pain and suffering have to be applied. It may not be the errors in this life, this day at school. Now, here Bach is referring to past lives. This day at school, which we are combating. In other words, you hear me say it all over and over all the time, that all the major events in human life are predestined, and certainly all of our suffering is predestined from previous lives and from the crappy food we ate and the bad things we did in this life. And although we in our physical minds may not be conscious of the reason for suffering, because it's coming from a previous life, which may to us appear cruel and without reason, yet our souls, which are ourselves, see, our true self, the part of us that goes on, is our soul. So when you go to a spiritual master, You're asking, you want to ask him to reveal to you your soul so you can get deeper in touch with your own soul and the currents of your spiritual self. Nevertheless, understanding and correction of our errors would shorten our illness and bring us back to health. So when you have disease and when you have suffering, you want to know, ask God, how can we correct our errors? Then our disease will be shortened and go away through God's grace. Knowledge of the soul's purpose, because the only thing going on is that God's trying to tell us something about ourselves. We need to quit being such a workaholic. We need to quit being so dominating. We need to quit bossing everybody around, being so hateful. Knowledge of the soul's purpose, which we learn through talking to our soul, which is prayer, and meditating, which is listening. And acquiescence in the knowledge means relief of earthly suffering and distress and leaves us free to develop our evolution in joy and happiness. It is obeying the commands of our soul, our higher self, that matters. And that's the secret of the spiritual law of body, mind, and spirit means that we need to listen to the dictates of our own soul. So if we're going to listen to the still, small voice, we have to reach the still point. We have to become still so we can listen. It's like school where it's a school, a great spiritual school, where we, by the time we die and we look back over our life, seems like a dream, and we don't say, oh my God, I wasted this whole thing. Because we're growing and evolving and getting closer to God all the time. So to listen to the soul, you need to be still. And if you don't listen to the soul when the soul speaks, what happens is as the soul grows quieter and quieter. So we need to get the soul to speak louder and louder so we start listening. God may come in a dream. Our soul may speak to us in a book. A lot of times when I get up in the morning, I have the answer to some flexing problem. It'll just dawn on me maybe while you're driving. Just keep asking. Don't expect it to happen in 24 hours. If you've got questions and you need guidance, just keep praying and keep asking. And you also need to turn it over. You need to turn it over to God. Turn it over in your mind. Because if you're going to hear, you might hear something that is against what you want to hear. And the only way you can hear the truth, God's truth, the spiritual truth, is if you've surrendered and let go. And you're actively listening. If you're still struggling with as to what, where, and why, and when, and in what way, you haven't turned it over. You can tell when you're still hanging on. You can tell when you turned it over because you don't have all that stress anymore. The other secret spiritual law that I'm going to tell you here about the remedies is that when you take the remedies, the action of these flower essences is to help you to be able to listen to the guidance of your soul and the still small voice of your soul having to do the issues of your health and your pain and your suffering. The magic of these remedies is that God gave us these flower essences to help us to listen to the guidance of our soul. See, normally your soul is trying to tell you, hey, dude, you got too much animosity. You got too much hatred. You need to loosen up and quit being such a workaholic. You need to quit having power over other people. You need to resolve your self-esteem. You need to resolve your self-confidence. You need to work on that sexual abuse from your childhood. And normally we're not listening because we're too busy running around doing all this stuff on the material plane, being addicted to this and that and chasing this and that. Woman walked down the aisle, she told me, As she was walking down the aisle, she got a voice inside, her inner voice, her spiritual, her soul, said to her, "Don't marry this man." I said, "Well, girl, what'd you do?" She said, "You know, the marriage is already going on. We had, you know, nobody was there, and the dinner later and reception. I went ahead and married him. It was the worst nightmare of her adult life. Man abused her, made love to her one time, never touched her again, always putting her down, criticizing her. Where her voice spoke up loud and strong, because she wasn't in the habit of in her voice. We need to see that. We need to learn to be guided from the inner self, the higher self. Should you go to college, your higher self will tell you, stop worrying about being fat. Or maybe it'll tell you, don't invest that money in this place. Or maybe it'll tell you, don't buy that car, buy a used one. We need to learn to start becoming directed from our higher self. Now, let me change the subject here for a minute and just say briefly that drugs are death of the soul. When you do drugs, what happens is it creates a wall between you and the still small voice. So when you have a drink, when you smoke a joint, when you take the Prozac, when you take in the drugs, and I tell everybody, if you're on the medical drugs, just as you get healthier, just go tell the doctor and have the doctor take you off the drugs. Don't have high blood pressure, why would you take the high blood medication? If you can sleep, why would you take the sleep medication? I had one lady walk into her psychiatrist after 2 or 3 months on the remedy. She said, "My God," he said, "if you feel the way you look, I'm taking you off the psychiatric drugs today." And he went ahead and said, I do. And he went and took it off of them. Drugs are a death of the soul. And what happens is when you're taking flower essence and you're doing it properly, following the protocols that I teach, over time, you'll get off your cigarettes. You'll never miss them again. You'll quit drinking. I had a woman drink a bottle of wine every night since she was 16. She was 33. Dr. Love, is nothing. There's no way I can taper down on this wine. I said, "Don't worry about it. Drink all the wine you want." In 1 month, she's down to one glass of wine per month on the remedies. And is it 5 or 6 months? She's not doing any wine at all. So what about the marijuana? I said, "Well, let's just give it some time." I said, "Smoke all the pot you want, and let's just give it some time." A month later, on the flowers, she told me that she was down completely, and there's no more pot at all. So that was history. So God has blessed flower essences using this protocol that I teach you to help you get off the drugs. Okay, so let me look what else I want to talk about. I want to tell you about my course, but I'll tell you about that a little later. Let me start going into the remedies. Oh, no. Let me read another point. Pretty cool. You know, I was sitting here the other day. Again, another time, a rattlesnake came up and sat down now more than 10 feet away from me. So I was talking to her. So sweet. She put her rattle away. She sat there and began to give me energy, began to give me power. Whoa. I wrote a poem about that. So here it is. My voice, so gently spoken to the snake not far away. Her very heart goes melt and softens with my words. They can feel the love. Her medicine she brings to me. I will accept tonight. This special gift from heaven, giving me her power, her precious energy of life and death. For hours she lays coiled, soft and kind, her rattle put away. Yet powerful and filled with strength, a massive voice of boundaries and truth. Wonders of the magic of the desert earth. Wonders of the ancient voices of the sand spoken to my eager heart. So that's a poem about the rattlesnake that came and visited with me and gave me power and exchanged energy with me just 2 or 3 days ago. It's way cool. Okay. So our first remedy is vervain. And the vervain is unique because it fits two categories. It's the last of the dominating remedies. That's one of the remedies you would get to someone who has too much of a need to control. If you're a vervain type, you're not going to be able to flow because you want to have everything in control. You're not going to be able to relax because you want to control everything. And you're going to have a tendency to control other people. Vervain is also the first of a group of three remedies for the workaholicness, which means being a workaholic, which means pushing yourself. Let me review what we've done. We've taken chicory, which is bossy and dominating. We took up heather, which can't get a word in edgewise, or hypochondriac, always talking. And we took in vine, which is we looked at vine, the military officer, the police officer, dominating, bossy, and very ambitious. Before we got into the dominating remedies, we did the remedies for shielding and protection. One of the greatest causes of all disease and suffering and pain. Sentry, being too people pleaser, too much of a nice guy, can't speak the truth. Walnut, for having one person that controls and dominates them. Walnut is one of the biggest of all shielding remedies. Agrimony, holds everything inside, wants to go do some drugs, wants to hide her feelings. Agrimony has anxiety, hides her feelings and pushes her feelings aside. It's also a shielding remedy. Mimulus, which is a remedy for fear. Joseph Stalin used fear to control his entire population. If you have fear, they're going to control you. Mimulus is a remedy for healing to your fear. Worry about money. Worry about disease. Fear that no one will ever love you. Fear that things are going to work out. Then we have large, which is a remedy for confidence. Self-confidence. Feeling capable. You're good enough. You really have something to offer. Serrato, which is also for confidence. Mistrust your decisions. Ask other people their opinions. Scleranthus, which is a remedy for indecisiveness, where you can't make a decision about anything. And then we talked about pine, which is a remedy for guilt. And one of my students had just a terrible case of guilt. I think she's been on the pine remedy 5-6 months. I don't even know if we're using it anymore. She says she has no more guilt. And boy, did she have some major guilt. God bless you, man. And then clematis, in England they call it clematis, which is a remedy for being spacey. If you're spacey and you're not here in the present, they're going to come and take your power. Those are all the remedies for the shielding and protection. So you would use some of those that fit you to protect yourself from the people that come and take your power and suck your energy and drain you and vamp on you. Like a vampire leeches that they are. And again, most of this vamping, where they're going to leech onto you, you're not going to see it. You're just going to wonder, why am I so tired? Why do I not feel good? Why am I so depressed? Well, it's because the last person came over and sucked your energy. Okay. Now let's move to our category tonight, the workaholic remedies. What workaholic means, driven. Driven's another way that I use to describe this remedy. The drive remedies, because they're always a drive. There's something you got to be doing. The key thing about these four remedies, it's for pressure, that there's always something that you should be doing. So you can't relax. There's always pressure. You got to be doing this. You got to be doing that. When the evening comes and it's time for you to relax. Can't do it. There's two times, and you need a balance of the two, and you need to be able to access both of them. The one time is a New York City bus time. The other time is the Costa Rican time, or the Navajo time. Navajo says, we'll be over later. We'll come over, have dinner later. Well, Navajo show up at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, maybe show up at 12 o'clock at night. They're living in the Zen space. The Zen space is where you don't have a watch on, you don't have a clock, and you don't feel pressure. You need to be able to have access to the New York City bus, doing space, and the Zen space, because the healing occurs in the Zen space. Let me give you an example. Guy breaks his leg. Young kid breaks his leg. Girlfriend brings over some videos. So you just sit here. He calls his boss. I'll be back to work next week. Boss says, no. Just lay there. Let your leg heal. Let your leg mend. He needs to be doing nothing. He needs to stay off his leg and do nothing. And within, you know, 2 or 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is going to heal. Going to heal from him doing nothing, not from doing things. So healing, if you want healing, healing happens in the Zen space. Let me give you an example of what the Zen space is. My favorite quote. I read it in every class. It's just too cool for school. Thich Nhat Hanh. There's a very famous Zen master quoted in a book called Taking Refuge in L.A., Life in the Vietnamese Buddhist Temple. Now here he talks about the Zen time, which is what we need to embrace, so we have a little bit of both. We're not always on the New York City bus. We're not always living over busy. And it, because if you're over busy, you will not heal. You can't even hear the voice of healing. You won't even be able to hear the voice of your soul. You're always run. Now listen to what this Zen master says. There are two ways to wash the dishes. The first is to wash the dishes in order to have clean dishes. The second is to wash the dishes in order to wash the dishes. If while washing the dishes we think only of the cup of tea that awaits us, thus hurrying to get the dishes out of the way as if they were a nuisance, then we're not washing the dishes. What's more, we're not alive during the time we are washing the dishes. In fact, we are completely incapable of realizing the miracle of life while we are standing at the sink. If we can't wash the dishes, chances are we won't drink our tea either. While drinking our tea, we will only be thinking of other things, barely aware of the cup in our hand. Very deep. This means we need to become still, one thing at a time, to learn to move into the Zen space. Because all of this emotional healing stuff we're talking about, all of this occurs during the Zen space. You can't heal while you're on the New York City bus. Let me give you an example. Say you got a buddy who's a chiropractor, and you say, look, I need a chiropractic session. He goes, okay, not a problem. You go, but I got to drive down and go to the store, so I want you to go with me and give me a chiropractic session while I'm driving to a store getting things done. I'll tell you, you're crazy. You got to lay down on the table, go into the Zen space, and the chiropractor takes 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and puts you back into place while you're doing nothing. All healing operates in the Zen space. So you need access to the Zen space. You don't have to be in the Zen space all the time. You got to be in it some of the time when you're healing. When the day is over and you go home, it's time for you to heal. You're going to make dinner. You got to call a girlfriend. You got to do the things you want to do. But the general spirit of your evening needs to be healing for you. Else, how are you going to get the healing? Because you can't get the healing while you're running around at the office. But when the workaholic person goes home, oh, I got to do, I got to wash the dishes. Oh my God, I got to clean this up. I got to clean the closet. Oh my God, I really need to get those bills out. No, you know, yeah, and no. Schedule some time to do these things so that you have time and to be in the Zen space. The workaholic person, the driven person, never has time to be in the Zen space. So that's a problem. One of the most workaholic people I have ever met was an attorney in L.A. He was a Burbank. He was impatient. Those are the three remedies, Burbank, impatience, and rock water, which are part of the drive group, the driven group. And he was impatient. And he's also rock water, too. He's probably the most workaholic, dominating, too, man. You wouldn't want to meet him in the courtroom. He was a holy terror. But he could never relax. He was tense the day was born. He had migraines. He had terrible back pain. So we did some massage, and I put him on the remedies. And he was a courtroom fighting, litigating, cut your throat and make you do what I want you to do, attorney. And he fought with people all day long, fought with other attorneys. After 8 months, we were done. He had no body tension at all. It's all gone. He had no migraines. That was gone. He was no longer a workaholic. He was a laid-back California guy. And he was no longer dominating. Now, that's called a thorough constitutional transformation, where you take the deepest negative character defect in the personality and move that over to the opposing virtue. Well, the opposing virtue was that he was laid-back California guy. He had access to his income. I met him 2 years later. I hadn't seen him for 2 years. Met him in a health food store. He introduced me to his new wife. We chatted, and I took her aside and said, hey, does he have a migraine? She said, no, no. Is he tense? Does he have any body pain, any back pain? She said, no, no. I said, is he a workaholic? No. Is he dominating? No. Migraines are gone? Yeah, yeah. Isn't that cool? So I've been telling massage therapists and chiropractors this about these flower essences used by the protocol that I teach. For years, blows right over everybody's head. When I was in L.A., I told her I used to work on movie stars. I worked on the top. I was very honored to be able to work on the top people in the music industry in the world, the top people in the movie industry, the famous entertainers. I was very honored to be able to do that. And I told everybody, I said, look, you work with me, we're going to get rid of your muscle tension and your pain on a lasting basis. And we did. And by the time we were done, they didn't have any pain anymore. And I could do it because I could give them the remedies that worked with the cause, the actual root cause, where their pain's coming from. In his case, it was a workaholic illness. We need to learn to love ourselves, and we need to learn to have a life, and we need to learn to take the time for ourselves, and we need to learn to have peace inside, and we need to learn to be happy, and we need to learn to be still, and we need to learn to listen to our soul. These remedies are part of it, because these are remedies where you got the pressure, you got the tension, and you got the stress, and you got the pressure on your inner self. There's always something you're going to be doing so you can't relax. The healing and a lot of the growth that you need to make as a person, you need to do it in the peaceful space of the Zen time. The Zen time is where you don't have anything that you're doing. With the workaholic people, with the driven people, they never have any time. They don't have what they're doing. In fact, if they ever have any downtime, I was talking to one of my students. She said she sets a time aside on Sunday to go, and Saturday to go down in the evening and sit with her husband and watch TV, which is his favorite sport. And as soon as the commercial comes out, she jumps up and runs and does the laundry. No, we need to get you to be still and sit and do one thing at a time. That's the Zen space. One thing at a time, so you can realize the miracle of life while you're walking, standing at the sink, or doing or not doing, while you're just sitting there. So let's go on to the verbing. Let me get, actually, no. Let me read you another poem. That's another cool poem, Chad. Get us back into our heart. If you look a little deeper, you just might find living in the shallow, superficial river of the night, going nowhere, empty life and death of round and round, never here. And when you're there, you're never there. Always moving someplace else, never settled in your heart, and always over busy. Always running quickly, footsteps through the night. So you never have to stop and feel your pain, the hurt and luggage you have stuffed away so long. Always over busy, so you never have to face yourself. If you look deeper, just a little deeper, you might find the person who you really are, the person who is real. And deep, authentic in her breath, whose heart beats with her truth, and lives her truth, and speaks her truth, in daylight and in night. A life fulfilling without all these lies you carry in your back and neck, and secrets of your eyes. A life worth living. Without all this suffocation and suppression of yourself, and all the ones who stifle you because you're still not true to who you are and what you really feel and who you really are. Your work, your heartbeats, your footsteps in a place you should not be. And have become a person who is barely hardly you. If you look deeper, you just might find the truth of who you really are. The path your footsteps should begin. The truth that should be blazoned in your heart. The realness and sincerity of your own true self. The person you are really meant to be. Ray. Okay, verbing. First thing, question about verbing. Are you dominating by nature? Because verbing to dominate personality. Can't let go of control. Enjoys dominating other people. Enjoys taking control of situations. They may be very together, and taking control is second nature. Directs other people's affairs. They like to tell other people what to do. Now, verbing can be greedy for power. I'm reading a cool book by Arthur Schlesinger, who's talking about studying men who love power, and he was talking about John Kennedy and how John Kennedy liked to wield power, and Lyndon Johnson. How Lyndon Johnson craved power. God bless him. Greed for power. They may tell you when they're correcting you. Well, they're not actually correcting you. They're dominating you. This is for your good. This is for your own good. They're hard masters to other people. So they can be controlling to other people. Now, verbing enjoys arguments. They like to argue. And Darling, can we cut to a break for a moment? If you're there, can you hear me, Don? I'm talking to my engineer, asking him if we could cut to a break. Well, probably not. We'll cut to break here in a minute. In Joy's arguments, the Vervain personality likes to argue now. Now, why would someone like to argue? This is a very deep... You probably know people who start arguments with you. They're always going, picking an argument with you. Attorneys like to do that. So if you... The joke is if you got 10 attorneys and they're up to their neck in manure, what's the problem? Well, the answer is there's not enough manure. if you got attorneys at a party, they're going to be in the back room. They're going to be picking fights with each other and arguing. They love to argue. Sport arguing. Sometimes the only way a man and wife can have intimacy is to pick a fight first. And then they make up and they do it through their intimacy. There's several remedies who enjoy arguments. One is a chicory. Chicory loves to argue. And the vervain loves arguments. And they'll pick arguments and they'll fight with you and they'll conflict with you. And painful. Very distinct. If you're the one being argued with. One vervain person told me, things can't be going well. I have to stir them up. He's always setting up on an adversarial relationship. It makes me wrong. It makes me inferior. So they usually enjoy his arguments as a way to bond with you. It's kind of strange. But the way they connect with you is to try to get you into an argument and control and dominate your life. So enjoys arguments. And three remedies do that. Chicory does that. Willow does that. Willow has rejection. And vervain does it. Vervain is the remedy for being dominated and being a workaholic. Strong personality. Strict with others. The vervain's a very strict person. And they're overbearing. Especially with their opinions, their voice. They like to overtalk you. And they can be intolerant. They're not very tolerant. They like to... They have these strong opinions of the way, they're not very tolerant of you. I mean, I like what you're doing. Now, check this out. Second question you asked of vervain to test to see if they're vervain is a different subject. Do you like to teach other people and turn other people on to things? The vervain, if they get too intense, the vervain person is a person who likes to teach you, likes to turn you on to things, likes to sell you stuff. They like to, they may be involved in multi-level. They may just be selling you on their opinions. They're always, it's almost like they have an agenda of always selling you something. When I was at the auto shop a couple of weeks ago, they had the Allstate company there, and they had two offices I saw, and as the people would come out, they'd talk to me, ask me questions, and try to sell me insurance, which I told them that I don't need because I already have it. But they were pushing. They couldn't just relax and be with me. The vervain is trying to... they're over-eager is what it is. They're over-enthusiastic. That's what this is about. Over-enthusiasm, wanting to teach other people and turn people on to things. They're always trying to turn you on to stuff. Ambitions to convert. They want to convert you maybe to their religion, to their ideas, whatever. Over-anxious to influence others. So they're trying to influence you, get you to see what their views are and be like them or whatever. Overbearing. Now, there's four remedies that are overbearing. Vervain, vine, chicory, and heather. All overbearing. They'll overtalk you. They'll be talking loud, and they'll overtalk you. I hate it when people overtalk me. I like to have a give and take. But the people who are dominating, they can't do that. They've got to dominate the conversation. Push, solve a bill, and then push. Pushy means they're constantly pushing you. You have this feeling you're being pushed. So I had this feeling that I was being pushed to buy a car when the car salesman came out, that I was being pushed to get insurance when the insurance guys came out. Instead of just talking and asking them how they were, you know, how the day is going. Ambitions to convert. And if they're, you know, part of some church, maybe they're going to get you into the church and they're so excited and enthusiastic wanting to convert you. Over-anxious to influence others. And they're overbearing and pushing. Over-convincing. So they convince you, and then they go back again and convince you all over again. A lot of times it's like, oh, you take it back. You unsold me when you pushed me a second time. Over-convincing. Wish to teach other people. They're always trying to teach other people. They can't just relax and be with people. They're always got to teach them. Manipulating. They can be manipulating. And as a result, sometimes they can be violating because they're always pushing. So this is one of the all the dominating remedies can be violated. They can be manipulating. So this is a remedy to heal the manipulating piece of someone that you love and care for is manipulating. You would want to get them vervain or vine, which we went last week, or chicken, which we did the week before. Manipulating. Interference by over-persuading. Converters. Convincers. A person who wants you to agree with their opinions. Now, to take the vervain, you don't have to be this extreme. I'm giving you the extreme of an extreme hot vervain. You can just be a person who's slightly dominating and you can slightly push. You push yourself. So it's not just pushing other people. It could be you just push yourself. And I always ask people, do you keep pushing even if you don't feel good? So even when they're sick, they'll keep pushing. So then you can give vervain. Okay? And then the other thing about the vervain, they always feel there's something they need to be doing. All these workaholic remedies, these driven remedies, always feel there's something they need to be doing. They can't relax. And so can the energy of a rattlesnake, of a beautiful day. The guy says, he's got a cabin up at the lake, but he's never been there. He's always pushing in his life, never go. He goes up to the lake, he has to relax. He can't do that. Can't relax. This is and I was telling Don, my engineer before, that 1978, I took this vervain and vine, and I was taking chicory too. I took it for like 8 months. I got deep massage during the time. At the end of 8 months, all my muscle tension went away. Never had any muscle tension since then. That's what I originally learned about doing the original or the thorough constitutional transformation and getting you to heal the deep stress and pressure and that you carry inside of yourself. Pressure. There's always something you have to do, and so you can't just relax. Now, going on with teaching other people, over desire to teach, preach, or influence others. So you feel that desire that they're pushing you. Extreme sense of mission. He will suppress you and tell you that his teachings, that he's teaching you and helping you, or that you should check this out, or go get this website, read this website, go learn about this book. And they always got something that they're teaching. They can't just relax and be. They can't relax and be with yourself. They can't relax and be with their poem. They can't relax and be with other people. See, if you're going to heal, you won't be able to be with your pain. You got to be able to feel your pain, put your pain on the table, put the issues that are causing you suffering on the table, and like a good girl in college who does her homework and get yourself ready for the test and get the books read that the professor wants, like a good girl in college, you process. You go into a healing process, and you put the cards of your pain on the table, and you process it through in this school, not college, but this school of life, where your soul is the professor, wanting you to learn about this, wanting you to learn about that. They're talking to you. They're talking at you, not really to you. He doesn't really connect with me. He's not coming from the heart. He's mainly in his head. And they're always, the vervain is talking at you. You could say something, but they don't listen. It's not a give and take. So in a sense, you could say they have a missionary zeal. Now again, for you to take vervain, you don't have to have all these. This is the extreme vervain that we're going through in this book. In my notes here, this is from the personality profiles of the Bach Flower Essences, which will be available soon. They're pushing you and trying to teach you, even to the point of a religious obsession that they have, overly aggressive nature. They can't just relax and be there with you. See, they can't relax and be there with themselves. So they never heal. They never change. They never grow. You come back 6, 10 years later, they're still the same. They never have the time to set and be with themselves and work through the issues and the baggage and the garbage and the junk and the crap and the stuff of their own, the dirty rivers of their life. They don't do it. They just keep pushing, pushing, pushing. So in a way, you could say that the work of heartedness, the purpose of the workaholicness is to avoid dealing with the issues of yourself, because you never have to face yourself. You never have to deal with yourself if you're busy pushing. And we have over-enthusiasm, which I mentioned earlier. The vervain is an overly enthusiastic person. If you have a vervain child, they're like, oh, yeah, oh, wow. They're like real excited and enthusiastic. So one of the ways you test the vervain is, are you very enthusiastic? Do you have a lot of enthusiasm? Because that's the way you know the vervain. They're pushing, they're going hard, but it's out of enthusiasm. Whereas the impatience remedy, which is the next remedy we're going to go over, pushes and goes hard out of impatience, having a big list that they have to do because they're real impatient. Vervain pushes out of enthusiasm and excitement. This person's turned on and really excited. I had a student, it was last year, year before last. He's the biggest vervain in the book. He was so vervain when you talk to him. He's just on and on. He's like so excited and dominating, very intense. Total workaholic. It was killing him. He was about 60 years old, and when he went to do his painting and his carpentry work, he would outwork 3 men. Can you imagine? He would do the work of 3 men. The boss loved him, and because he could do all this work, and he would start early in the morning and work until late at night. He had no life, and he was miserable, and he was tense, and he had massive pain in his body. Tested, dude, you're too much of a workaholic. We got to chill this out. And he goes, okay. So he took the workaholic remedies. When we were done with the year's course, he was a laid-back guy. He's from Montana. The laid-back guy. When he worked hard, but not from 1 till 10 o'clock at night or whatever he worked till 8 o'clock at night. He worked at a slow and steady pace, and he didn't outwork 3 men. When he was at home and he took time for himself, he just hustled around the house and would build a fire. And he was a good person with the carpentry and stuff. So he was building and adding to his house and stuff like that. But he had a leisurely pace, and guess what? No body pain. No pain in his body at all. And he was no longer workaholic. He's one of the worst. He was no longer workaholic. That's called a thorough constitutional transformation. Okay. Oh, and then he was enthusiastic. When you talk to him, oh, my God, the enthusiasm. It was tense. He could never relax. interest, excited, often very excited, excessive energy. It's too much energy. The guy needs to relax. See, because you give somebody a massage, maybe you're a good massage therapist, they're going to relax, but they'll be back next week. The joke is, how many chiropractors does it take to change a light bulb? Well, it takes only one, but it takes over 200 visits. It's the curse of a chiropractor. You got to keep going over and over and over again. When the chiropractor adds these bark flowers on, the person will go through the healing that they need to have, because the back pain is given because the soul is trying to teach the person, hey, you got to quit being so pushing. That quit being so dominating. You got to quit pushing so hard. You need to learn to relax. And that's why the soul gets a pain. That's the way you get rid of the pain. To heal the original cause, the root cause. Excessive energy. And quick. Breathing's quick. Moving here quickly. Moving there quickly. Because of the intense excitement. Over-eagerness. Zen Master Reverend Don Gilbert walked up to a podium to be the featured speaker at the West Coast Conference of the Healing Arts that I and a friend produced in 1978. He was ahead of a large Zen sect throughout the United States. Never seen anybody walk so slow. This man was powerful, beyond powerful. He used to be a tightrope walker in the circus. Now he's a Zen master. He used to do Dharma combat. He'd get up there and my friend Patrick and I, we just laughed and laughed and laughed. And he would say, I can see Paisleys in the air. I can see cosmic energies. I can read people's minds. I can do all these things. Because he's a Zen master. He's like way up there, some kind of enlightenment place. And he'd talk for 10, 15 minutes. Everybody looking at him. And then he goes, okay, now you guys take shots at me. And everybody would take a shot at him, see if he's a fake and a phony. He wasn't a fake. He wasn't a phony. He was really there. Powerful, intense, but slow he walked up to the podium. And then we had another feature speaker, Yogi Bhajan, the great Yogi Bhajan, who's now passed away. God bless him. What a wonderful person. With devotees throughout the entire world, thousands and thousands of devotees. What a great man. And he walked up to the podium to give his presentation. He walked even slower. That man was so relaxed, so slow. And he, like Reverend Gilbert, gave the most powerful speech on healing through the spiritual. And so did Zen Master Reverend Don Gilbert, gave the most powerful talk on healing through the spiritual. These men were real men. They didn't have anything to prove, and they didn't have to be wrestling around. They were healthy and whole. Connected with spirit. It was like too cool. And I'll tell you another story about Zen Master Gilbert, either later on today or next time. Do you work really hard? Go really hard. In fact, yeah, I'll tell you at the end of the day. Do you work really hard? Go really hard. Well, the birthing person pushes, goes so hard. They're tense. They can't relax. There's remedies to help you learn how to be relaxed and slow and connect into the cosmic energies where things come to you. You don't have to go make everything happen all the time. A lot of pressure. You got to make everything happen all the time. Can't relax. Driven. These remedies, patient and patients, rockery and birthing, very, very driven. Always in a hurry. Zip, zip, zip. And patience is in a hurry. And Rockwater's in a hurry. Zip, go here. Zip, go there. Driving fast. Rushing here. Rushing there. A constant state of movement. Very hyper. If you have a little child in their birthing type, they're going to be hyper. Type A personality. Always feel there's something got to be doing. Type A. So type A means, back to the workaholic remedies in patients for Vanna Rockwood. Type A means that they just always got to be pushing and rushing and going. They can never relax. Let me tell you this story. So here we got to the West Coast Conference of the Healing Arts. 2 days, Sunday morning, Zen Master Don Gilbert going to give a keynote address on healing and spirituality. I got there late, and I went to the door. It was locked. I said, oh, my God, we're about ready. All these people were out there. The conference was getting ready to happen. But the building was locked. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? So I called them, went to a phone booth and called security. Okay, well, we've had some things, and we're sorry. We'll be up there in 15 minutes. And I said, you can't get up there in 15 minutes. We got to get in. We got to start the conference. Please, I'm begging you, come immediately. Oh, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to send an officer before 15 minutes. And I went back, and oh, my God, what are we going to do? We can't start the conference on time. And Zen Master Gilbert was, I'll never forget that day, was standing there in a circle of people. Everybody was standing around talking, all the people in the conference. And he was standing there telling jokes. And I stood there, and I thought, I can't tell jokes. I can't laugh at a joke. I'm embarrassed. This is my show that I'm putting on, and we can't start on one. And Zen Master Gilbert put his hand on my arm. He's a strong man, powerful man. Eric, just relax. Everything is going to be fine. Oh, and I'm perspective at that. Oh, my God. So I stood there and listened to the jokes. It was hard to laugh because I was just so queued up and thought. And he was so relaxed, and everyone was so relaxed, and everyone was standing in the sun. 15 minutes afterwards, security showed up, unlocked the door. I rushed in. I started setting things up, and I said, Zen Master Gilbert, I said, listen, why don't instead of me introducing you, why don't you go up and introduce yourself, and we'll get started, because we're doing late, and people were getting seated in the big auditorium. And he looked at me and put his hand on my shoulder and said, Eric, just relax. Everything is the way that it should be. Sit down here and just relax. And I'll go up and introduce myself in a few minutes. So I respect him. So I sat down and tried to relax. People started mulling and they started sitting in their seats. And then after about 5 minutes, slowly, I'll never forget it. Zen Master Gilbert, who is in the Zen space, slowly walked up to the podium, slowly introduced himself, brought the group to tears, giving the deepest speech I have ever heard on spirituality and the healing process. Did I learn a lot from him? Always feel pressure that there's something they need to be doing. So a Vivian person gets home at night, and they're, oh, my God, I have to do this, I have to do that. They can never relax. They always feel, on the time they get up, till the time they go to bed, they always feel the pressure that there's something they got to be doing. Workaholics, they're workaholics. They're always going and going and going, and they can't relax. Pushing too hard, going too hard, rushing too hard. So this is to help us, because on the East Coast they say, if it's to be, it's up to me. The Zen way is, if it's to be, it's going to come to me. I'll draw it to me. So a guy comes, oh, I got to have a woman. I'm going to a party. I'll get a woman there. You go, no. Listen, dude, when you go to the party tonight, don't try to get a woman. Just relax and be yourself. And talk to the women as women, and talk to them as friends, and don't have an alternative thing that you want. Because if it's to be, in this case, if it's to be, it will come to me, and that's the way you run it. How many women do you know who say, it's time for me to be married, or it's time for me to have a boyfriend? So they go out and drag out the boyfriend. Their life is hell and a nightmare. They got the wrong one. So we've got workaholicness, pushing too hard, working too hard. So this person goes too hard. I had a woman, she had, I went over, took the printing over there, and she's working there at the print shop, and she's telling me about all, she called it arthritis. She had pain in her hands and pain in her joints. And I said, well, girl, what, because with the book, the spiritual law I teach in my book is treat the person, not the disease. So, and that's what I teach all the doctors. Focus, first of all, on what's going on in the person. So when I got to talking to her, what happened? If she had owned this company and the company failed, and she said, I'm not going bankrupt. I'm going to pay all these people back. So she had been working for 2 years, been working two jobs, sometimes three jobs a day, struggling, trying so hard and pushing so that she could pay back this debt. Instead of taking the bankruptcy, I says, oh, girl, and I gave her the Vervain. I think I gave her Impatience and Rockwater, and I gave her Century for being too nice, and I gave her one. I gave her a bunch of Agrimony for paying all these things. I came back a month later, and she was better within 2 months. It's totally gone. And she told me that she is letting it go. She's not going to try to pay the people back. I think she had worked something out to the bankruptcy or whatever, but she had let it go and was no longer pushing anymore. She knocked it back down to one job. Pushing too hard, working too hard, going too hard. That's what my man in Montana was doing. He was pushing too hard, going too hard. There's no connection with the inner child. There's no connection with the process. Vervain doesn't have connection with their process inside, and they don't have connection with their issues and their baggage and their garbage and their junk that they need to deal with inside, because they're always busy. They don't have connection with herself. Vervain doesn't have connection with herself. Vervain has lost herself. Accomplishment and achievement is what's important, not who you are. My father kept telling me, son, I love you for who you were before he died. I love you for who you are, not what you've accomplished and what you're doing. And my favorite, Napoleon Hill, said he met the 500 wealthiest people in the United States, most successful. None of them were happy. None of them had peace of mind, except for John Burroughs, number one, number two, Thomas Edison, number three, Andrew Carnegie had any semblance of peace of mind. Accomplishments of your goals and your dreams is not going to bring you peace of mind, and you're just not going to be happy. The only way you can have happiness and peace of mind is your connection with God and your connection with yourself and the healing of the baggage that you carry inside. So someone told them when they were young, what's important is your accomplishment and your achievement, not who you are as a person. We don't love you for who you are. Who you are is being worthless. What's important is what you have achieved and what you, you know, what they want you to say is like, oh, you meet them in a party, and what they want to hear is, oh, yeah, I'm an international lawyer. I work with international corporations and handle contracts and legal things with international multi-gazillion-dollar corporates. That's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear, oh, I'm just a mother, or, oh, I'm just a person, or, oh, I'm just being myself, or, oh, I'm an artist. Everybody wants to hear what you've accomplished, but nobody's happy. So you can't relax. So this is one of the remedies for relaxing. If you can relax, you're going to win the game. Because remember, everything begins with peace of mind. Write that down. Everything begins with peace of mind. And write this down. Everything begins with a knowledge of the self. Everything begins with a knowledge of the self. If you don't have your knowledge of yourself, you're nowhere. Even if you're wealthy, you're never going to be rich. Can't relax. And also we have strain. Strain means you're always pushing. You're always straining. Your life is a strain. You're going hard. You're straining to do this, and you're straining to do that. As you take the Vervain, you're going to quit doing it. You're going to do the thing when it's the right time to do it. Stress. Stress means tension and stress. It's like you got it in your back, you got it in your neck, you got it in your migraines, you got it in your rapid heart. Stress is like the killer of our time, and this is one of the main remedies for stress, because unless you can develop more Zen time, take things a little slower, and heal this piece where you always have to be pushing, you're going to have massive stress. And then, and enthusiasm, exhaustion, through strain in the neck. So this one of our big exhaustion remedies. Why are you exhausted? Is it, it could be because you're pushing so hard. Then you're going to get tired. And the older you get, the tireder and tireder you get until you just finally burn out instead of taking a more reasonable pace, more of a Zen pace, and moving slower. Overactive nature. Over-concentration, overdoing things, and doing too much. All these workaholic remedies are doing too much. You can do things, but things need to be done in their time, not when they need to be done in God's time. In the Tao, God's plan, God's will, the great Tao, Ma'at, divine order of the ancient Egyptians, is everything is in its time. And things move according to God's will for your life. So there's less pressure and there's less strain. It's the easy way. Restlessness through impatience. So the verdant person is impatient. They're pushing, they're rushing, and tension, always tense. That's one of the remedies to heal tension. That's why I told everybody when I was back in L.A. in the middle 80s, we're going to get rid of your tension. On a permanent basis. You know what? We did. Most everyone, unless they were doing some kind of drugs, we get rid of it. We get rid of the tension on a lasting and permanent basis. Let me read you another poem here, and then we'll close for the night. Whispers in the night. Spoken in whispers in the night. The way you really feel inside your heart. The voice of you, you cannot speak. The feelings, what you have to hide. If you could only speak the feelings of your heart. If you could only voice your truth upon the night. The little mountain stream, so quiet in its voice. And yet, the voice is real. It speaks to you so simply what it is and how it feels. The movement of the tiny mountain stream, the way it comes up from the depth of the inner earth, the way you stoop down with a cup upon your hand and drink the quiet voice, this mountain water with its truth, simply what it is. And ever is, and nothing more, and nothing less than what it is, and how it feels, and what it is, and what it will become. I didn't do my commercial about my course. Let me just say real quick, any of you guys want to study with me, we give a certified homeopath. We give a certified nutrition consultant. Homeopathic certification in the treatment of animals, and we give a certified herbalist. It's a one-year course. I sit beside you, hold your hand, help you go through the healing process. It will be, because that's the way you learn, it will be the most dramatic healing process that you probably will have ever experienced in your whole life. And there's books you read. We ask for 25 case histories, and within the year, you should be up and running. Doing this healing with yourself and everybody else. My phone number, 406-585-0774, medicinewind.11@gmail.com, drericlove.com. So that's the transmission for the day. I hope you guys have a wonderful week and look forward to seeing you next week with Healing the Heart. God bless you.
Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love can be heard every Sunday night here on the BBS Radio Network at 6 p.m. PST and 9 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. Please visit his website at www.drericlove.com or call him at 406-585-0774. Thank you for listening.